This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday?
I don't know.
I'm being honest about this.
It's a day.
Yeah, Wednesday. This week has been stupid. Just like everything about it has just been weird. Looks like it's settled down a little bit out there. This morning, man, before I came to work, it was just like sideways snow and
love it.
Nuts.
It looked nice.
It looked, yeah, like I dig this.
Snow and nuts?
Yes.
Sideways snow and nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I love it. It makes you feel alive. That's all I could think of this morning. I had to go out and drag some stuff out of my car and inside, outside. And every time I stepped outside, the wind and the snow would hit my face. It makes you feel alive.
Are you running yet?
No. That makes me feel not alive,
yeah.
And it's pretty depressing.
Yeah.
It's been, what, 12 weeks?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I just can't get over it. It's a gumball.
Swelling. I tried to run walk, I guess, a little too aggressively, so my PT appointment earlier this week, he was not thrilled with that.
I was going to say, was that per instruction?
No.
No.
Was there any talk of surgery at all?
No, because it's just
it's
ligaments.
It's not a surgical thing.
No. And he's like, listen. Because if for your mental health, if you need to go out and run, walk, you're not going to get better for a while. And this could be something that you deal with for 20 years. Or you can, try to get better now. And he said, you know what? I wouldn't be opposed to you go out running and walking and dealing with it and not getting better for a couple of weeks. And then when you're mentally in a spot where you can shut it down again.
Off.
Yeah. But it is, the gumball, man.
Wheels, did you ever have to take time off like that for an injury?
Yeah, but only the first time it ever happened was in college, and I had to be forced.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to. The choice was taken out of my hands after they did the MRI and all that. The first one was a wrist injury that I refused to get looked at because I was a nobody, lowest level on the totem pole in college, and I didn't want to miss anything. I didn't want to fall behind. I didn't want to be shut down. I just wanted to get through it. And finally, they took me in and scanned it. They're like, "No, you're done for 6 weeks. You are not catching up. You're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. You can throw. You can do all that, but you can't catch or hit or do anything." And that was forced on me, and it sucked. Knee injury in college was similar. But the worst one I missed was when I did an ankle.
Yeah,
I did mine playing basketball. It was like it might have been the year 2000. So I was maybe 30, 31. No, it would have been it was a little later than that. Early 2000s. I was maybe 21, 31 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
I did this in January. I did not run again until August.
Yeah.
Like I rehabbed, I walked, I jogged, but I did not actually sprint or run until August.
It feels like it's never going to happen again. Yeah. I mean, obviously not.
And I still feel that now.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, you got to be positive and say, no, it's just going to be a slow road back.
Yeah.
But the marathon world championships at the New York Marathon, those are out. I'm not even close. I don't even know if I'll be running by November. So that's out. Obviously, the Boston Marathon's out. So I think mentally, like mental health wise, that's the worst part.
It is hard, but you just have to shoot further out, right? You're used to closer goals and closer payoff for the work you do.
Well,
and you just have to push it further out.
I don't mean to say this to hurt you because you're my friend, but you had just gotten that great news.
Yes.
About your times and you qualified for this and you were so excited.
Yeah. And there's no going back. Like, you can't change your mind. You had so many hours, right? You had so many days.
Yeah.
They go, okay, it's going to open up. And then we need everyone who's going to be in the World Championships, the Marathon World Championships at the New York City Marathon in November to sign up now. And I didn't do it. And I know people say, well, could you have gone and just run, walk? Well, sure, but that's...
Yeah, that's not the point, right?
I'm not going.
Not the point.
If you're going to the World Marathon Championships.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? Here's the thing. Whenever like you suffer, you go through a hard time, you know that there's like a purpose in it and you can make a purpose out of it. And so, when you can't run from anything, literally, you just got to focus on it and work and go, okay, what can I learn from this? And taking a step back from running has been good too.
Ron, if you were a really good partner, you would start running. Run for her.
I'll finish that marathon for you, friend.
No.
That would be the best.
How do you overcome chafing? That seems like a... That happens.
Vaseline.
That's tough.
Body Glide. That's what it's called.
For your nipples? That's good. That goes on your nipples, right?
Well, not for girls, but for you, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or tape.
Do you know about the Body Glide for the nipples, Dave?
I know about the nipples. I didn't know about the Body Glide.
Yeah, so, it keeps your nipples from bleeding.
It can go anywhere. Legs, a lot of people chafe right between their thighs.
Yeah. Yep.
You can put it on your feet just as a preventative measure against blisters. So, but...
I'm chafing now.
Yeah.
Dave's like searching the Body Glide.
I'm a big chafer. Athletic days. Woo. Yeah.
Knock on wood, I have not.
Because every one of my body parts is so stuck together so tightly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't have a lot of space anywhere
nope,
here.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just had to rig it, though. Like, we would be... All right, I'm going to get bike shorts, and then the bike shorts are going to go under my sliding pants, and then those are going to go under the baseball pants. Or when I ran cross-country, I was a mess. Because all you have is like a T-shirt and then running shorts. And running shorts, they don't cover anything.
They're 2 inches long.
Your skin, like if you have legs, your thighs just go right against each other as you're running. And
you need that thigh gap.
I did not have it then, nor do I have it now.
I have a friend who said, she's like, I cannot wear corduroy pants or I might start a fire.
Yep.
I love that. I stay away from corduroy just as a safety precaution.
God, I love corduroy.
Love wearing it?
I do. I have a couple of corduroy jackets.
Yeah. I've never seen
and
you
I
in
have some
corduroy pants. I've never seen you in
wear
corduroy
them.
Pants.
Yeah.
Are they the micro velvetized corduroy?
I don't know.
Good
they're Levi's.
Thick...
They're black corduroy pants. They're nice.
Are they
swishy? Very comfortable. Long time since I wore corduroy.
Oh, yeah. Since grade school.
Yeah.
They were an option in grade school instead of like khakis or Dockers.
Yeah.
So they were closer to jeans in the way they felt. So we thought, oh, we'll dig that one. That's the cooler one. And then you're just walking around the hallway. Zip, 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 zip.
I think I feel
can't sneak anywhere.
A spark. It's on fire.
Good. Good stuff. I love it.
But after that, after eighth grade, never again. Not since. I can probably guarantee it.
You ever wear patent leather shoes?
Love patent leather.
Probably.
Yeah.
Like penny loafers were a big thing back in the day.
Wearing them right now.
Had those little loafers with the penny in them.
Mm-hmm. I wore them. I had them in eighth grade. I wore them to school once, and I'm like, I'm not doing that again.
They're the least comfortable shoes in the world.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, I don't miss that. When I was a lawyer and I had to dress like a lawyer, and you would buy dress shoes. And I'm sure there were ways to break them in, but I didn't know. So I would just wear them, and I would get blisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and now, it's like, if you're doing that, this is what I love about now. This is my favorite thing about fashion. Maybe the only thing in fashion I care about in the last 900 years is that you can wear athletic shoes with suits now, and nobody yells at you, and nobody thinks
you know
you're a freak.
I think, yes. I hate that look.
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I'd like when I see they're like people who do it on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not like, it's not like a Zelensky thing, like, do you own a suit? And for someone who doesn't own a suit.
Yeah.
But like the suit with tennis shoes thing, just like, I get what you're trying to do. It just doesn't work for me. Oh. Rachel, what about you?
It's all me.
Oh, it doesn't bother me. I've been known to wear a blazer and sneakers, so I
yeah, but that's
can't.
Fashionable. No. Because you're a girl.
It's casual.
I mean, but cool. I think it's fashionable when guys do it too, though, with the sneaks and the suit.
I mean, it's a big NBA thing. It's a big thing on ESPN. All you know, all the football guys that are breaking down games, they're all doing that. And I don't think it's because I think the look is amazing. I don't give a crap about fashion. I just like the idea that I can do it and not get yelled at. And people aren't going to be judging me. I mean, like, everybody that's fashionable does it, so I'm going to do it because I'm going to be comfortable.
Kevin, you can wear whatever you want. No one's going to yell at you.
Well, that's true.
When have you ever been yelled at? By,
not by
of
strangers.
What
no, it's more strange. It's more parents and, you know, relatives parents. And families. Like, you know, families can be a little bit more annoying, and you're like, you know what?
How do your families feel about your Beavis and Butthead shirts?
Oh, they love them.
What if you wore jorts and a mesh top? Would you get yelled at by Steve, maybe?
Into work?
At work.
Yeah, that would be a real problem. Dave would yell at me.
I've done that.
Mesh?
And it was not only mesh, it was a half shirt.
Well, look at you with the Jim Edmonds
where?
Look.
Yeah, where what?
Where did you wear that?
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, so in the 70s, that was totally a normal look.
It was like a, it was gold. And it was definitely see-through.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a football jersey-ish sort of thing they did in the 70s. Yeah.
Yes, but it was a crop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Half shirts were, I can't tell you how big half shirts were.
No, they were, massive.
Yeah.
They were everywhere. Guys and girls.
Do your belly button show then?
Yeah.
Well, it's a half shirt.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was wearing high-waisted pants like Fred Mertz with a half shirt, was he?
Right.
Wearing the old man pants pulled up to your chest.
The chest the pants. Shirt.
Yeah. Now, that would be awesome. I think that would be a phenomenal look.
Yeah, my dad yelled at me because I paid full price for a half of the shirt.
I think that's hysterical.
That's funny.
Yeah. He was really mad.
So it wasn't the look, it was the principle.
It's like, did you get half off that shirt?
No.
He's like, did you pay the full price for that shirt? I'm like, oh. Take only you would pay full price for half of a shirt.
That's pretty funny.
It is very funny. It
makes a great point.
Yeah. He was never wrong.
No. It was, I mean, that is a legitimate, like, why isn't the shirt half the cost of a regular shirt?
Uh-huh. No, like, half shirt, jorts, and tube socks with stripes on them pulled all the way up.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
I like the tube socks. I think that's a good look. The striped socks.
You can get a lot of them now.
Get them a package where they would be like red and blue.
Yeah.
Yellow.
Oh, man. I'm into those.
Yeah.
Dave says, half shirt stopped when they started putting corn syrup in all the food.
That's such a great point.
It's in everything. Everything. You fatties.
Yeah, they should have doubled the shirts.
That's so good.
The half shirt should be from the bottom up.
Oh, gross.
I'd wear that shirt.
I could take the afternoon.
Am I the only person that knows this group? Anybody?
I'll know it when you say it.
What does it rhyme with?
The lubes?
The boobs.
Yes.
Is it really?
No. Oh. No, it's the tubes. The same one that did One in a Million Girl.
Huh. Never
that's
heard
the,
of
that one. Oh, yeah. I know I'd heard this one before, but I would never recognize one other than
Fee Waybill.
One in a
great
million.
Great band. Really good band.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's one thing about the music. Like, I picked all this music last night when I was in the zone. So I'm, and I wrote down Adam Sandler music because when I pick music, I don't know if you guys are like this. There's humor in it. Like, I love playing songs where you're like, oh my God. Because when I watch an Adam Sandler movie, like the old classics, he had the best soundtracks.
Yeah.
It was always like a rock song that, from your childhood. And you're like, damn, you know. So that's the way I pick music. Rich does it a different way, but I'm always looking for like that, oh my God.
Like the song in Billy Madison where he shows up to high school. I cannot think of what that is, but I hear it. And he shows up in his Trans Am and his denim jacket. because he has to go through all of the classes again. Oh, man, what is that song? And I can't sing it because I don't know the words.
And they're so effective.
Yeah, they're totally set to move. You're right. It's perfect.
And he's the first one I remember doing that, like doing it from like a comedy standpoint.
Yeah.
There were some similarities in like Caddyshack.
Yeah.
That kind of, it wasn't all the stuff. Some of the songs were made for the movie, but like there were parts of it that were like that too, where you're hearing the song in the background while things are happening. Like that was a good comedy thing, but I think Sandler and maybe who else did it not too long, not in the not too distant past, or they did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Rach, what's your coffee thing?
So it turns out, according to a new survey, 80% of people who drink coffee say they can't drink it black.
Right.
So my question is, do you think that makes them any less of a coffee fan?
Since I am a cream and sugar guy, I don't think it makes me less of a coffee fan because I may drink just as much or more coffee than you, but I think you're pretentious if you think that I'm less than you. And if you talk about the notes of cinnamon and cardamom, like just okay. But I do have a certain respect for people who drink it black because I can't. And I'm like, wow, you're tough. You know what I mean?
There's that research that was from a couple of years ago that said people who do like black coffee are more likely to be psychotic. And it's actual research that they're they got some kind of. Now, I can't. I don't prefer it that way. I prefer it with a little half and half, but I can drink it black.
So
I'm okay with that.
I love coffee. I don't like it black. I don't need sugar. I like half and half. Like you said, like half and half. And so for me, I do feel like real coffee drinkers can add half and half. I know some like coffee snobs who get a cortado or Gibraltar, depending on what you call it, and that is like a little pinch of milk and a little special espresso, and that's like a coffee snob thing, even though it has a little pinch of milk or a little pinch of cream. What I think, like what I don't count as coffee drinkers is if you only do like the lattes or the Starbucks drinks or the Frappuccinos, that's not coffee. If you do...
It's a milkshake.
That's a milkshake, yeah. So I guess that's... And even lattes, especially like Starbucks lattes, there's like a teaspoon of coffee and the rest is milk and syrup. Yeah. To me, that's not coffee. But coffee with cream or like a cube of sugar, like that's coffee.
To this day... I feel like everyone's punking me personally with iced coffee. Like, to
really?
Me, yeah, because to me, cold coffee is coffee that's been sitting there too long, and you take a drink, you're like, oh, yuck, yuck, yuck. And when people started drinking iced coffee and tell me how good it was, I'm like, is everyone in the world in on this?
Well, because there's a difference between cold and room temperature. Really cold coffee is very good, but if it gets down to like... You know,
and
60 degrees or 70 degrees, it's not.
Ron, you're not really drinking iced coffee, I don't think. I'm drinking cold brew, where it's actually brewed differently. It is brewed.
Yeah,
it's
brewed, I still think, over the
course of 24 hours. That I like. Because iced coffee can be kind of watery to me.
Depends on how they make it.
Yeah, I need a strong cold. If you're going to go cold, it needs to be strong.
I like cold brew, too.
I feel bad for people who don't drink coffee at all. Like, that, to me, that's a real pleasure.
I feel bad for people who don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys feel bad for me.
Yep.
That's new.
Yeah. I mean, you would absolutely be a black coffee drinker.
I'm sure. I hate coffee, though. I love the smell of it.
It's one of my favorite
smells in the world.
Yeah.
You walk into a restaurant or you wake up in the morning and smell it. It's awesome, but I can't do
it. Have
you
had it doctored?
So, what's the point?
Because I was going to say, that was you. If you were a coffee drinker, black coffee, I drink it. If you're adding milk, then you don't like coffee.
Well,
you're trying to cover up the taste.
I can drink other things instead of coffee then.
But you might really like it with cream and sugar.
I know, but I know. There's something about the bitterness and the aftertaste of it. Even candy that's coffee flavored, I spit it. I can't take it.
Oh.
It's awful.
I spit it out. The bitter aftertaste is like, that's the point.
I know, right? So why would I do it? I'll just grab a do.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. I was waiting for the second half of that word.
By the way, Billy Squire, Runch, and Billy Madison. It was The Stroke.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that song.
We had two people, Gail and Brian, pointed it out.
Thank you. Thank you, Gail and Brian. This is going to sound dramatic, but last...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Night I wrote, I was listening to this song. I'm glad I got to be alive while Michael Hutchins was alive.
Dude.
He was just such a force.
Great front man.
Yeah.
Really, really good singer, man. I love NXS.
They were telling you, I had them on the show right after Michael died.
Oh, boy.
And they had his best friend as the lead singer who looked just like him. Just this good-looking Australian dude. But NXS... And they came into the Dinky studio over at Emmis and were the nicest guys.
Yeah.
They stayed for like an hour. They invited me to go to dinner with them. They were just like the coolest guys ever.
So the show Rockstar NXS, yes. You remember that.
Sure
that
do.
Was, what, about 20 years ago?
Probably.
When they tried to replace him, they did the competition thing like American Idol style. So a friend of mine was the guy who came in second.
Oh, wow.
He was in a band called the Love Hammers. And mm-hmm. And so I knew a couple of the other guys in the band, and I remember being out with them once for there was a bar in the city that had a watch party every night that show was on. And so we're there, and I'm like, what do you want to happen here? Because he kept getting deeper and deeper into the competition. Marty Casey, that's his name. And the drummer, he's like, honestly, we want him to get to go as far as he can and then lose. Like we want him to come in second, because if he wins, then we lose him.
Right.
And we don't have a band anymore. So that's what happened. They didn't really take off or anything after that, but a really good band. They were a lot of fun, and that show was fun.
Anyone like that for you guys that I'm really glad I got to be alive at the same time as this cat?
I mean, music doesn't go anywhere, so it's like...
Doesn't have to be a musician. Stop doing that to your pen.
Oh, sorry.
You're on camera.
I can't see.
He flipped me off earlier on camera.
No, it didn't get on camera. I got
okay,
lucky.
Good.
I mean, that's definitely how I view, like, Eddie Van Halen. Like, that's
I'm so happy one. that was my that was my core of my rock was Eddie. Like, that's the one that opened everything up, and
you got to be on the ground floor.
Right, right.
You saw it from the start.
Saw it when they were young, before it was, you know, just everybody cool. And I was only a kid, so it's not like I was, you know, at their shows in the 70s or anything like that.
This is sports, but I still am so thrilled that I got to see Wayne Gretzky play.
Yeah.
I got to see the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa home run race and the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Like, to see that in person. And I talk about the greatest show on turf a lot because I was 15 years old. And it was, you know, at that age, too, you're not worried about other things in life.
No.
So sports can be biggest thing. And, oh, my gosh, just going to the Dome. Like, I remember we'd do that park on Cole Street and hang out there and then walk to the Dome and watch that team play. I still, like, you can see me smiling. It just makes me so happy that I got to see that.
Man, if you're talking sports.
Michael Jordan. It's such an obvious
Yeah, that's
call,
a great one. Mm-hmm.
But to be able to see him.
And I hated him, but he was just amazing to watch.
Oh. He changed
the sport. I only hated him from a team rivalry.
And Tiger.
Tiger and the Williams sisters. I'm thinking of that now, too.
But, you know, now that I think about
love
this.
Love Tiger.
Back in the day. Even more was every day. From the end of 2006 until he retired, I watched Tony La Russa do his job inside the stadium, down at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter, like seeing that and then watching Albert that entire time, every day, one of the greatest hitters ever. And then for me, the catching nerd, seeing Yadier Molina that entire time. So from the time that I got here in late August until he retired, I got to see him play either in person or on TV every day. Cover him, watch him do drills with young catchers down in spring training. It's hard to even describe how great it is, what a great feeling it is to see people so good at that kind of thing do it every day, because you get to appreciate how much work it takes. And it's not just pure talent, that it's something that's what they care about probably more than anything outside of their family.
Ron got to see one of these, and I would say musicians. I was alive, but I didn't go to a concert. I wish I would have seen Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston. And you saw Michael Jackson.
I saw Michael. That was my first concert.
Incredible.
You and my brother.
Bad tour, and they played at the Checker Dome.
Mm.
He had two nights here, and one of them he had to cancel because he was sick, so we happened to pick the right night.
Did it live up to?
Yeah, I mean, I was in fifth grade, so... Mm. You know, my memory's not great, but I knew that I liked it at that time. I would say another guy that I really regret never seeing, and I did have the opportunity, but also am glad I was alive for it, is Prince. I don't think I appreciated him enough when he was really big. And I think more about how a person that you... I measure this based on how much I love to hear stories about that guy.
Yeah.
So if I ever run across an interview on YouTube and they're like, this guy tells a Prince story, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear the Prince story, because you know it's going to be really good and people are amazed or whatever. He would always do weird stuff.
Yeah.
Right? But it was like he was bigger than everything.
Yeah. When Prince was at his biggest was when I was at my rockiest.
Mm.
And so people would ask me about Prince and I would roll my eyes and I'd be really derisive. And I look back on that and I just shake my head, because I didn't get what a genius he was.
Mm-hmm.
And now, not only is he a genius, but talk about a rocker.
Yeah.
Dude,
well, that's the thing. I view Prince in two different ways. Prince, the performer, and Prince, the guitarist, are different people to me. Because I don't care for his pop music. I don't really care for much of that. But his guitar playing is impeccable. I mean, he is legitimately one of the greats of his time playing a guitar.
I think what's amazing about people like him is celebrities who were starstruck by him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's almost everybody.
It is everybody.
And anybody who had a Prince thing was starstruck by him.
Yep.
Rach?
You know, my mind is going like towards the actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. Mm-hmm. I just loved him. And when he passed away, it was like someone I knew passed away. Like I very rarely have an emotional reaction like that. You know, I'll feel a little sad, but it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's gone. And I was just glad at the time that I had been a fan up until then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you watch other like very fine actors, or like a good example for me is like James Gandolfini. I didn't watch The Sopranos whenever it came out. I'm watching it all after his death. It's like, I wish I would have watched that while he was with us. I wish I would have appreciated him while he was with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad I had that experience with an actor I really like Philip.
Yeah.
First name basis.
Daniel Day-Lewis is that for me.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's an obvious choice too, but the way he put himself into everything and like how it's, I don't know how you could mentally do it the way he did it, where you assume that character for however long you're, you know, the method acting there is, it's on your mind, it has to be insane to do that.
I find it creepy.
It is.
When
I don't
people
know.
Do that.
Yeah, how you'd be on set and people, when he was filming There Will Be Blood, I forgot who was telling this story. It might have been Paul Dano, who was talking about how they'd be in the middle of takes and he's just sitting in the corner in a chair and he's just like groaning like he does in the movie. He wasn't talking to anybody because he was so in character. I don't know how you do that.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like sometimes that's an excuse to be a jerk.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's like that.
Because a lot
that.
Of the people that are like that, that use that method, they're kind of jerks.
You don't hear that about him, though.
I have, but not to the same degree as other people.
See, I have to confess, I was like that on the set of Exorcism Live back in 2004.
Yeah. You were so in the character of
it. I was probably a bit of a pill to deal with, so... I loved that I did that show. I just love it. I thought it was going to lead to a new career in television, and it obviously did not. But it ended up being one of the funniest things for my life. Like, just so weird.
Who's the guy in the leather jacket growling in that chair?
did you have a writer?
Oh.
Your list of demands for the green room?
No, but they did have, like, craft services. So that was kind of
nice.
Cool.
Do you remember what they had?
Like a sandwich buffet and fruit. And
we're
know.
All instantly so interested when you say.
So tell us about the food.
An omelet bar.
Like, we're like, did you take pictures?
Mr. Glover needs an omelet. Mr. Glover needs an omelet. thank you, Glenn Violet. He says, let's hear about the new hat.
Hat time.
Yeah, he's got a new one. Looks good.
Thank you. Haven't sweated in this one yet, so anyone would like to wear it?
It does look like a brand new hat.
Yeah.
Like, it could not look any more crisp than it does today.
Is it brand new, or was it a used purchase?
No. It's interesting you say that, though, because I clearly am not above buying another man's clothing, but not his hats.
Okay.
I draw the line at hats and socks.
I'm buying
my hats and socks new.
That's fair.
What about the undershorts?
Don't eat them.
Don't wear them.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Don't eat them.
What?
There's only one layer between Dave and me.
You think you want to know
and
why?
I'm the closest to him.
Do you want to say, this is why he wanted the body glide?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
Dave's like so intrigued. Like,
I said I was a Schaefer.
I had no idea.
I'm out there, Jerry.
I love it every minute of it.
Oh.
And I am 3 feet away.
You're good by about 2 feet. Oh, I should do a live show. Here we go. 150 DG, ass on KMOX. Okay, here's one for the golfers. You ready? Could you win the Masters?
Nice.
You see this one?
I did, too. Yeah.
Could you win the Masters if you could start with your ball on the green?
The farthest
point away from the hole.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All you have to do is putt. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Which means you have to three-putt
every
par
time.
Three, four, you know, I mean, but better than that, because you can't, to win,
yes.
You've got to be under. So let's just say you three-putt every one of them would be what you need to
pretty
do.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, that's, you know, that's an eagle if you're on par five. So, again, a little bit of leeway there. But, you know, you basically have to average a three-putt, 3.5 to do that, to have the score that those guys will have.
I think they should do it. I think in every Masters, they should have
one summer amateur.
Just one guy.
Yeah, since you clearly think you could.
I can do it. No problem.
No way.
Have you ever been golfing before?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how fast those greens are? Do you know how hilly the greens are?
You get to practice.
Yeah.
No, that's
the point, is you have to go out there right now.
He can practice on a green.
I get 5 mulligans for every...
The greens are so fast, you'll get whiplash.
Well, this is the thing. So, first of all, the video that I saw then, Dave, right? Did you see the golfer being asked about it?
Yes.
And I thought his answer was pretty interesting. He goes, well, first of all, they move the pins every day. And they put the hole in very difficult places. He said, I can promise you on some of these holes, I forget which one, it might have been 9. He was talking about one of them in particular. He said, you'll make your first putt and you'll be off the green after that putt because you're going to miss.
Yes.
And it's going to roll 40 yards away downhill. And now you've got to chip and get back. Like, he actually made a really good point. Those greens are way tougher than you think. They're not your municipal golf course greens. I would say the answer is clearly no.
Andrew's making a face.
Andrew's winding up.
What? Do I look scared? Like, what is it? What are you talking about?
All right, how about this? I don't golf. This spring, we'll go play a round, and we'll let you do that. Just start from the
at
edge
Augusta?
Of the green. No, just at a regular place and see what you score.
Love it. Sounds like a blast.
So you have been golfing before?
Yeah, I've been golfing before.
Mini golf or real golf?
Both.
Okay. I'm just curious.
There's no windmills at Augusta.
Mostly mini golf. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So it's easier.
Have you ever played anything?
You're mostly a putter.
I'm mostly a putter.
Have you ever played anything longer than a par 3?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Good start.
Remember how mad Dave Murray was that Andrew didn't know where the Masters
said he wasn't a man.
It was me. I was mad about that too. I'm like, how does anybody not know Augusta National? It's like not knowing where the Hollywood Theater is.
Dave said it and meant it.
Yeah. It's like, you're not a real man.
I did not say that, but
I could understand not knowing where the Masters is played.
Really?
If you don't follow golf.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff I don't follow where
win.
You name
he's
a big thing.
He's going to win the Masters when we change the rules for him.
We're going to feel real stupid when he shows up in that green jacket.
Not worried about it.
So does Dave Murray know where Oracle Arena is and who plays there? I bet not. I got your back, Andrew.
Thank you. Quite Augusta National.
Paul says, could Andrew win the Indy 500 if the drivers had to pass him on the grass?
Well, if he's in the left lane there, right? He's in the...
I'm driving in the center of the reading.
He's just driving around the pit.
I'm driving in the center of the two lanes so no one can get around.
Spice up with a... Put a mouse in that car.
Mice are just running from it.
Andrew's got an open wheel car. There's one mouse.
You would be an instant icon.
Oh, yeah.
The trash car, the mouse car, you reading in the far left side.
They do the camera view of the inside of the driver's seat. There's
cheese behind you.
Bottles and cheese.
Yeah. Indy 500's going 53 miles an hour.
Why would there be cheese?
Well, you put the cheese out for the mouse traps?
The cheese
is in your car.
That's still there. That time is right now.
That time is
it's
right
still
now.
There?
Yeah, I forgot that there's the trap with the right cheese now. On it. It's still in the car.
That's like a year ago, too.
A year and a half-ish.
Aren't you worried you're going to get pulled over and that's going to be suspicious?
Hey, officer, you want to reach in and grab it? Go be my guest.
Why is there cheese in your car? Because there's a mouse.
Hey, man.
I'm trying to catch it.
Hey, man, you want to go grab that trap back there? Be my guest. But
do you think the mice are gone?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're not eating the cheese, so.
Even though you're practically inviting them in with your cheese.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I think that mouse, is the cheese traps and all of it, that's a cop deterrent. Because they will come up to the window and look back there and see that and go, I'm not dealing with this.
Yeah.
Whatever this is. Yeah.
Have a nice night, sir.
Miles away.
Have a nice night, sir.
He goes back and tells his
partner. Please, officer, can I interest you in some cheese?
Remember when you threw that bag full of mouse into the intersection and then ran?
Yeah.
And then lied to us about it? That was my favorite part.
He lied multiple times. He lied about the lie.
We still don't know.
There were so many layers to that onion.
We still don't know.
The bag never went in the... Look, I'll just tell you. The bag never went in the intersection.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I basketball dunked that thing into a trash can.
Did you ever drive the mouse car with your shirt off?
No. Why?
Didn't you drive to your dad's house?
No, I walked.
You walked there.
Yeah,
okay.
But you were gonna drive. I thought you were going to be.
He was going to get his shirt.
I thought we were gonna drive.
I thought we were driving, and then the wife was like, "No, let's just walk." And I'm like, "All right."
Was Megan totally cool with walking down the street, and you're just like shirtless?
Yes. Yeah.
My favorite thing was
a
when
block
we
and
were
a half.
When we were busting on you for this, and I'm like, "You didn't have a shirt." You're like, "I had a shirt waiting for me."
I knew there was going to be a shirt at the place
and
I was going.
Like, I can't argue with that.
I knew I was going to a shirt, so I don't need to have two shirts.
You're adorable.
You're right, you know.
See you guys. Have a good night.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.